and welcome. It's hour number two. Hour number two of the podcast, another football hour with a splash of fashionista. We're talking about comments made by Jeff Garcia, long ago NFL quarterback, 49er quarterback mostly, played with some other teams. Well, he's now a talking head on the boob tube, and Jeff Garcia was very critical of Cam Newton, but not just Cam Newton, the football player, Cam Newton, the fashionista. And we react to what Jeff Garcia had to say, and also how Cam Newton handled this. Bravo by Cam Newton. We've got the audio tape. It's coming your way right now here in hour number two, and you will hear the secret recipe of the Mahler maneuver. It's coming your way in hour number two right now. Let's take a spin on the catwalk. What do you say? Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Mahler Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond as we bloviate and filibuster the overnight hours away. And we emanate live from the Geico FSR studios. And glad you have chosen to hang out with us and share some of the most valuable asset that you have, which would be your time. We do thank you. So, when it rains, it pours. You probably heard that when you were younger. Maybe you still hear it today. When it rains, it pours. Well, Cam Newton is being reminded of that early life lesson with the New England Patriots. He is not only been a quarterback, he has been worthless on the field, and now he is taking on shrapnel off the field. His play stinks out loud. It just smells. It just reeks. Smells like fertilizer the way Cam's playing football right now. There's a bunch of people making excuses for Cam Newton. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But one person who is not making excuses is a four-time Pro Bowl quarterback who has unloaded on Cam Newton, but not just because of his play. It's bigger than that. We're talking about Jeff Garcia. Did you hear what Jeff Garcia had to say? Maybe not. And he's a longtime 49er quarterback, but he played with a bunch of teams at the end of his career. He bounced around and around and around the NFL. He had journeyman stats. He also won a championship in the Canadian Football League before he even got to the NFL. I think he was in Calgary, if I remember correctly. Anyway, it was a long time ago. So Jeff Garcia is now moonlighting as a football commentator in the Bay Area. He's on NBC Sports Bay Area. And he's spitting out hot takes on Cam Newton and Cam Newton's wardrobe. And let's go to the audio tape, as Warner Wolf would say. Here is what Jeff Garcia had to say. And this has been bouncing around the echo chamber of sports conversation.
You go into this game, two touchdowns, four interceptions. You throw, what, three more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door, and I'll show up on the field and do the best that I can.
All right, there you see jock sock cart. I don't know where the jock sock cart is, but there you go. All right, so he's, you know, railing away there, and that's good hot take television is what that is by Jeff Garcia. They ask you to have a hot take. Jeff Garcia had a hot take, and so asked about it on Monday. Now, Cam Newton does a paid radio appearance on EEI every Monday morning, and Cam Newton was asked about that. He actually agreed with Jeff Garcia, but he said he's not going to change the way he dresses. Here's what Cam Newton had to say in his radio show on Monday morning in Boston.
The fact that he's a former player, you know, he has every right to say that. And until that happens, then so be it. But that's another opinionated theory. And it's fair to say. So, I mean, I know I come off to so many different people, so many different ways, and that's fine. And he, you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress.
All right, there you go. So now I should give Cam credit for that response, because he could have just buried Jeff Garcia. He chose not to, and it's a mutual respect thing as a player and all that. And Cam knows he's going to want one of those jobs someday. He would like to be on television when he's done playing, which the way he's playing could be tomorrow, the way that he's going. So let us discuss, all right? You heard Cam's response. You heard what Jeff Garcia had to say. Where are you at on the Cam Newton fashion controversy? So I've got the haberdashery, the fashionista pond, and the axiom. And we will combine all these things together. Now, we lead off with the fact that Cam Newton, his biggest problem is not the hats or the scarves that he wears. It's not the coats. It's not the outfits that he has. It is that he has collapsed from the ranks of a dominant player. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But in terms of Jeff Garcia's comments here, he's really taking a page out of Captain Obvious's playbook, which you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's a hot take, but it's an obvious take, right? If you've watched the downfall of the former MVP quarterback, Cam Newton, in recent weeks, we've all seen it. Cam Newton's been terrible on the field, and he's interviewed after all these games, the outfits, going up to the podium and all that after the Patriots get crushed like a grape, and he's standing on the dais there, and he's talking, and it's cringeworthy, right? That's not normally how this works, and he's ready, it seems like, to do a pirouette. A pirouette there on the catwalk, if you will. But it's akin, you know what it is? It's like paying a visit to the haberdashery and buying the Ronald McDonald outfit to attend a wake. Because that's generally how this is. When your team loses in professional sports, it's been this way forever and ever. You're supposed to be all melancholy and all depressed, and you can't wear the gaudy clothes. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to, you know, approach it a certain way, and that's always how it's been. And so these Patriot games have been like a slow death march in recent weeks, and Cam Newton's dressed for a trip to the fun zone. And typically when you win, you're allowed to wear the goofy outfit. I think I'm right. Maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, but I think generally when you win, goofy outfit allowed. People laugh and smile, goofy outfit allowed. But when you lose, you're supposed to show great humility, even with your wardrobe. You're supposed to be restrained, right? That's the argument that Jeff Garcia, he's following the train of thought. Now, furthermore, the thing I agree with Cam Newton is on his approach. He is being a bit pigheaded here, but I believe that's appropriate, right? If you're going to be the show pony, you've got to fully embrace being the show pony. Don't go halfway, right? Cam Newton's got bohemian tendencies. Don't just dip your toes in the fashionista pond. You got to do a belly whopper, right? Wear the flamboyant outfit. That's a badge of honor. Keep rocking the 1950s Lucille Ball scarf if that's your fancy. And for better or worse, Cam Newton, I'll say this, he's not a phony. Cam Newton's keeping it real. He likes the funny outfit. He likes to be over the top. And, of course, being the bastion of fashion in overnight, the last bastion of fashion, overnight radio, I know fashion. I know fashion, unless I don't. But I will say he's not fake. This is what he wants to do, and he knows that some people get upset by this. They get annoyed by it. He's fully embracing his inner boastfulness. He's grabbing on to that snazziness, right? Now, there is also, to be fair here, a financial motivation in all of this. Cam Newton is the Mad Hatter of the NFL. He's got an eclectic, unique style, and those goofy hats are made specifically for him. Cam Newton, some of his NFL salary goes to a custom hat designer in Southern California. Last I heard, if still the same guy, in Venice Beach, and that guy designs hats not only for Cam, but a bunch of rich, powerful athletes and entertainers turn to this guy. He's the hat maker of the stars. And also, if I remember correctly, Cam in Carolina launched his own clothing line years back. All right, last thing here. So as for Cam Newton, the football player, because that's really what this is all about, right? You can nitpick and say it's really about the fashion, but it's not. There's an old axiom about the wardrobe, right? If it ain't cute. Here's the action. It ain't cute if you don't win, right? You can wear whatever you want. You can wear your birthday suit if you win. It doesn't matter. But if you lose, it's not cute, right? Not much winning going on these days. Cam Newton as a player has crossed the Rubicon. He's playing about as badly as you can possibly play and not lose your job. In fact, if you go to the numbers, Cam Newton is the 30th ranked quarterback among all qualified quarterbacks. The only quarterbacks that have been less effective than Cam Newton are Sam Darnold, who missed some time with injury, and Drew Locke, who also missed some time with injury for the Broncos. Even Dwayne Haskins, who has been benched in Washington, had a higher passer rating than Cam Newton. Now, the first two games, Cam Newton was humming along. He was humming along. Everything was great. He was completing over 70% of his passes. He was averaging over 8.5 yards per pass attempt. He had 4 rushing touchdowns. His passer rating was right around 100. And then the foundation, which was built on quicksand, gave away. Now, very few people saw this coming. I certainly did not see it coming. And ever since that Week 2 game, he has been wicked bad. Wicked bad for New England. The last 3 games Cam Newton's played in, he's completing a little over 60% of his passes, 1 touchdown, 6 interceptions. He's averaging about 6 yards per pass attempt, and his passer rating the last 3 games is below 50. Now, remember, a good passer rating is over 100, and the higher up past 100 you get, the better and better you are. But 48.5 is the passer rating. That is a hot mess. When you are at a 48.5 passer rating, you are on Santa's naughty list when you're at a 48.5. Now, the Patriots say that Cam Newton is not injured. That's important here. Now, are they lying? It's always a possibility. It's the Patriots. But they're saying he's not injured. He's just bad. That's essentially what they're saying, right? The excuse makers in the media, the cheerleaders of Cam Newton, are like, no. He's hurt. He's got a nagging injury. Or it's not his fault. It's the receiver's fault. It's this guy's fault. It's that guy's fault. It's every Tom, Dick, and Harry's fault other than Cam Newton. No accountability. At least Cam, to his credit, is taking accountability and admitting he sucks because he does. I mean, you're never allowed to be bad in the media because certain fanboys in the media always have to find an excuse for it. Cam Newton is on pace for less than 3,000 yards passing. He's on pace to have 6 passing touchdowns in 2020. Now, that might have been acceptable, I don't know, in 1971 or something like that. But in 2020, Cam Newton on pace for 6 passing touchdowns and on pace to rush for like 700 yards or something like that. Now, we already called for his immediate benching the other day. Does not sound like Bill Belichick is going to take our advice. He's going to ride this out. And so the next point on the calendar you look at is 2 weeks from now. The Patriots, their next 2 games, they have AFC East road games with Buffalo and the Jets. And even though the Patriots, it seems like it's over and they're done, and from what some of you idiots were telling me on the Sports Hub, our affiliate in Boston, they were doing a funeral for the Patriots, how their season's over. But mathematically, they can still get in the playoffs if they beat the Bills and beat the Jets. Now, the way they're playing, they could not beat Blind Scott and the Blind All-Stars. Could not do it. Could not do it. But if they win those games, that would be the penicillin. All right, give them a shot at the division, lose even one of those 2 games, and most realistically, you turn out the lights, the party's over for the Patriots. And then the real drama begins because then you're going to have Bill Belichick, and he's already grumpy when the Patriots have been great. Imagine what Belichick's going to be like. He hasn't experienced this since his early days with the Patriots, but really, you got to go all the way back to Cleveland and the brownies when he was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with local comedians in Cleveland. That's how far back you got to go. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to talk about any of that, it is all available for you. You can join the conversation here at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We're also on Twitter at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. I think we have our investigative reporter online, so we will be checking in a few minutes here. A man getting to the bottom, solving some of life's great mysteries. Now, you might say, why would you tune in to overnight sports radio for investigative journalism? But I'm going to tell you, the person we're going to put on here has gone across the country, gone above and beyond the call of duty to answer some of the great mysteries of life. and involving this show, involving this show. We will get to that. Also, you are not worthy. You are not worthy. Or are you worthy? But not James worthy. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Hey, Mona. Whoa, 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 Mona. Hey, 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 Mona. Whoa, 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 Mona.
That's a mandolin. That's a mandolin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There is nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the Maller Militia. Get the most out of The Ben Maller Show by following your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is the voice you talk to when you call into the show. As he's manning the phones. He is the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop the Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Now, checking some games of note in the Major League Baseball.
And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Later this hour, we will have Maller to the third degree. Look forward to that. The Maller Militia reacting to the latest Maller monologue, as they are known to do. Let's see here. Keith says, hey, Mona. That's not part of the monologue, Keith. He says, hey, Mona, will stand the musical test of time like Hey Jude, unless it doesn't. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. What's up with that, man? Taking a shot there. How dare you? No Help from the Twin Cities writes in and says, wow, I love that cam audio that you played. I totally agree with you, Ben. That was a great job of being humble and real at the same time. Yeah, I thought Cam handled that really well. He could have just absolutely buried Jeff Garcia. He's racist! Oh, my God! Of course, there's people, you know, the race baiters are like, he's racist. You know, they're yelling and screaming and shouting all that. But Cam didn't do that. And he said, yeah, that's a good attitude. It's like some people, you wear funny costumes and outfits, and some people are going to like it, and not everyone's going to like it. And that's just the way of the world. And, you know, if you're playing well, it doesn't matter. People think it's great, and they love you. And if you're not playing well, people spit a loogie at you. Say, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Let's see here. Lou writes in, says, Ben, the Rams next play a good Miami team. At least it has been with Fitzmagic. The Dolphins' new quarterback will be Tua. I wonder if Tua has played against anyone like Aaron Donald or Jalen Ramsey. And in game six, he says, L.A. will face Blake Snell for what it's worth. Listen, Blake Snell. Bro, I'm risking my life on this show. He's an enemy combatant. Blake Snell is an enemy combatant on this show. And if you don't know the backstory, this Mr. Softy, early on in the pandemic, when he's, I'm not playing unless I get mine, bro. I'm risking my life, bro. All of that. That's Blake Snell right there. He's the poster boy. Mr. Softy, would you like an ice cream bar? My name is Blake Snell, and I smell... All right. Now, when you think of great investigative journalism, many people, American history, Woodward and Bernstein, right? Those are the ones that get the most attention. Oh, my God. The whole Watergate scandal from back in the day. Bob Woodward wrote
a book
over the years. Well, you're not a fan of history. It's a bad job by you. But anyway, it was Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, the two guys that are credited with breaking the Watergate scandal. Anyway. With that being said, we have our own scandal. Let's go now to a snowy location in parts unknown. Our investigative journalist and a brigadier general, Moving Man Matt, is somewhere on the highways and byways of America. Hello, Moving Man Matt.
What's going on, Big Ben? I'm out of the snow, finally. I made it to Salt Lake City today. That was fun. I'd have probably made better progress on cross-country skis at one point today.
Congratulations. But you went that way. I've heard from a little birdie that you went that way in part because you needed to investigate the Maller maneuver. Is that true?
This is true. Well, that's one of the reasons. I wanted to do some more of the food tour, so I stopped and saw Todd from Lawrence. I hope Coop has shared some of the visual aids I've provided to the crew.
I have not seen those yet, but I want Todd to know that I am wearing, on the YouTube videos, which are mandated by the company, I'm wearing the Flamingo Club hat that he sent me. So I am wearing that proudly tonight here to support an establishment that has a Maller food item. And I want the, you know, all the guys to know, any of these restaurants that put food items, I'll proudly wear the hat. The Sportsbook Bar and Grill in Denver, you've been there. And also in the Kansas City area, we have the Maller Chicken Tenders. All right, so you went through there. What's the deal with the Maller maneuver? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. What do we got? What did the up? You stopped at the truck stop. It looked like a nice, big, large truck stop about 70 miles outside of Denver, yes?
84 miles outside of Denver.
All right.
Lyman, Colorado. The name of the bar across the street from the truck stop is Oscar's. Now, this guy, Mark, that runs this place, he would be a fantastic interview for you on the Fifth Hour. This guy has worked in entertainment. He's opened for David Copperfield. He was a magician. This guy is, he's got stories.
Yeah, well, that's good. You said 84 miles. I want to make sure I get this. 84 miles outside of Denver, Lyman, Colorado. And what's the name of the joint?
Oscar's.
Oscar's. Oh, I liked it. When I was a kid, I loved Oscar the Grouch, so I like it. Oscar's. All right, this is good. And you went in there. This is a decent looking place, right? This is not a shack. This is not a dump. This is a good looking place, right?
Good looking place. Good food. Right. Struck up a conversation and asked about shell shock and the Maller maneuver. And he said, "It's funny you mentioned that. He was going to debut it on the menu yesterday.
Oh, he was.
He chose to wait a week, and offered to make me the first ever Maller maneuver, but." As you know, I don't drink.
Oh, that's right. Well, of course, you know, we don't want you to start drinking. We don't want you to be like Wayne from Southie and all of a sudden start drinking because of the show again. That would be a bad thing. So,
but in my hand, then, I have the recipe for the Maller maneuver.
Oh, my God. Sweet baby Jesus. Hold on a sec. Hold on. That's a tease. That's a tease.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Now, Ben, I don't expect that you probably saw the game, but maybe you saw the story.
Okay.
Auburn was playing Ole Miss on Saturday in an SEC tilt. Late in the game, it appeared that on a kickoff, one of the Auburn players touched it, and then it went out of bounds, but instead of ruling it a turnover, it was ruled a touchback. Now, they apparently went to instant replay, at least that was what was told to Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin, and the call was upheld. Afterwards, Lane Kiffin was not happy about that call. He later went to social media where he retweeted something that called SEC officiating a disgrace. He has been fined $25,000 for his retweet. And then the
SEC. So he didn't even say it. He didn't put his name on it. Somebody else retweeted it.
Yeah, he retweeted it. He got hit with a $25,000 fine.
And then the SEC
said, "Oh, by the way, we did not review that kickoff properly, and then that was not handled the right way. It should have probably been reviewed further, and may have been a call that could have given Ole Miss the win."
I have the exact verbiage. You want to hear the exact verbiage? This is what cost $25,000 in the Southeastern Conference, Southern Fried Football. This guy, Breck Jones, tweeted out, "You all are a disgrace. SEC, your officiating is absolutely atrocious." And then he tagged SEC officiating. "If you all want to just keep gifting Auburn wins, just say it." There you go. I hear honky-tonk music in the background when I'm reading that. "If y'all." See, that's... Right?
Racist.
No, I love honky-tonk. Listen, I love...
Racist.
Old-school country music. I like old-school country music. I think deep down, Eddie, I'm a hillbilly. I do. That old-school country
promo,
music...
There racist. Is that promo about you talking about the lovable hillbillies.
Yeah, no, I think, seriously, like the old school early days of country music when it, you know, in fact,
Hank
I'm just
Williams
watching.
Senior?
Yes, Hank Williams Sr.
Uh-huh.
I'm just watching, it's from last year, but this is how exciting my life is, the documentary on PBS that they did last year about country music. Now, the reason I'm watching it, I was told by a guy I used to work with in radio that they have a lot of references to radio, and they do, because radio, the early days of radio in America helped the boom of country music. And it's been I don't get sidetracked here because we've got the Mahler maneuver recipe, which I'm looking forward to. But it's an interesting story. And I liked a lot of that, you know, that old school, the Odel guy. I forget his name. Jimmy Rogers. You know who that is? He's a country music legend.
I do
he
not
just
know who
odled. He odled
who?
A lot.
You mean yodeled?
Jimmy Rogers is yodeled? His name.
Never
yodeled.
Heard of.
Yeah, that's it. Yodeled. Yeah. Odeled, yodeled, same thing. You say odel, I say yodel. Right. The whole world goes around. But they pointed out that Hank Williams Sr., he had a song that was ripped off that was Rock Around the Clock, which was credited as being the first rock and roll song.
Oh, yeah.
But
Bill Haley in the comments.
But it was actually a ripoff of a Hank Williams Sr. song. And I thought, that's bullcrap. So I went to one of the streaming sites and I listened to it, and my God, it's right. They ripped off Hank Williams Sr.'s song, and that became the hit. Anyway, we'll get back to that. I don't know. I'm getting sidetracked. That's a non sequitur. But I just, when I see y'all in Southern fried football, I think of country music. Anyway.
Racist.
Yes, clearly. Let's go back now to our investigative journalist now. Moving man Matt, Brigadier General in the Mahler Militia. He's traveled. He's now in Salt Lake. He's made it through the snow and the Rocky Mountains. He's in Salt Lake on his way to Southern California. He started out in Boston. And before you give the recipe, let's all guess. Let's try to guess here, and you listening can guess as well. At least one of the components in said Mahler maneuver. Now, I'm going to go first. I'm going to say there's some kind of whiskey in this, that one of the alcoholic beverages is whiskey. Eddie, would you like to throw a
mixed
beverage
match.
Out? No, oh, mixed match.
I will also guess whiskey, Ben.
All right, Roberto, you want to throw
and
a change?
I will say whiskey as well.
All right, look at that. It's food picks with Moving Man Matt, or drink picks, Koopa Loop.
I'll say a nice Parmesan risotto with...
Let's play food picks.
We're playing food picks. Calm down. We're playing drink picks. It's a new bit on the show with Moving Man Matt. This guy's a legend. We hung out together in 2019 at the Cask and Flag. All right. Reveal answers. Reveal answers. The drama. The tension.
All right. So I do have to say, this is the 2020 version of the Mahler maneuver, and he will change it next year, he said.
Okay. All right. This is only for 2020.
I don't
okay.
know about that.
All right. What if it sells a lot? What if it sells a ton at Oscars? How about that?
I didn't ask that question. That's okay. A bad job by me.
Okay. All right.
Maker's Mark 46. Coin truck.
He's not done.
He's not done. Repeat again. I'm sorry. I was distracted. Go ahead again.
Cointreau. That's the orange liqueur, the triple sec orange liqueur. Ginger ale, a splash of cherry juice, and some garnish.
This sounds like a fruity drink to me, Eddie. I don't mind a fruity,
kind of
drink. I don't mind a little fruity drink in my day. I enjoy a fruity drink. I do. All right, so this is, you got a little orange, little ginger. What I'm trying to keep track of all this here in my head, so I'm trying to imagine what it's going to taste like. I'm trying to get my taste buds around this. And so say it, you got, walk me through it again one more time, Mark. Tell it to me like I'm 5 years old, please.
Maker's Mark 46.
All right.
Cointreau, ginger ale, splash of cherry juice, and garnish.
Ginger ale, cherry juice, and garnish. All right. Is that, do we approve?
Yeah.
I mean, I got to taste it, but it sounds like it's something that would be a big seller. And it's going to change in 2021. So this is only for the rest of this year. And then the Mahler maneuver will have a new taste in 2021.
I believe I need to hand deliver this written recipe to be framed in the home studio.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I would put that up there right next to some of the other souvenirs I've picked up here. Over the years.
Because we know when I mail something, it doesn't show up. So
no, I did get. By the way, not to nitpick. I was very kind of you, Moving Man. I did get the mail. You sent me a very nice Dodger hat, which would be great if I had like a size 6 head. But I unfortunately have like a size 8, so it doesn't.
It's
but
direct
the thought,
from the Hall of Fame.
I understand, but. If I chop half my head off, maybe it'll fit. I do appreciate it. I don't even know what size. It's like a small hat. Does anyone have a small head on the show? I'll give you the hat. Does anyone have a small head size?
No.
No.
Indian giver.
No, I got a giant dome as well.
Well, what am I? I can't wear the hat. It doesn't fit. It's a Brooklyn Dodger hat. It's a nice one. It's like an old school one.
What size is it?
It's like a small size.
Oh, no.
No? All right. Hey, Mark, thank you. Be safe. Yes?
Mark. Who's Mark? Never heard of him.
What's that?
You called him Mark.
I called you the wrong name. Matt, I'm sorry, Matt. That's a bad... Well, you got me. The hat was too small, so that's why. But no, Matt, sorry about that. Bad job by me.
Todd from Lawrence will also be making this at the Bird soon.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, that's great. We're going to get this thing everywhere. Outstanding. All right, well, thank you. Be safe. All right, there you go. Moving Man Matt. Not to be confused with Moving Man Mark. You say Matt, I say Mark.
Maker's Mark.
Yeah, that's right. See, there you go. He said Maker's Mark, and let me see. I'm trying to remember. Maker's Mark 46, cherry juice.
Ginger ale.
Ginger ale, and then garnish, right?
Yeah.
All right. Wonder how that is. Lyman, Colorado. It's 84 miles outside of Denver. It's called Oscars. All right, I'm in. Right, next week, we got to wait till next week for the big unveil. I got to see a photo of the menu before I fully invest. Yeah, my
Maker's
support.
Mark is not bad. I prefer Johnny Walker myself.
Hey, it's a truck stop. Don't get Johnny Walker's expensive. Okay, that Johnny Walker blue stuff is my God.
That's the good one right there.
That's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. All right, we will press on. We got Maller to the third degree. We'll get to that coming up in a couple of minutes, momentarily, in fact. But first, here is the Insta trivia. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is the second quarterback since 1970 to have 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 40 rushing yards in one of his first 5 starts in the NFL. Blank was the first player to do it and the only other player since 1970. Again, Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is the second QB since 1970 to have 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 40 rushing yards in one of his first 5 starts in the NFL. Blank was the first to do it. That is the Insta trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Ben Maller Show is scientifically proven to help make time fly by while working the third shift. We have a track record of almost 20 years of nocturnal service. Help support our daily battle against insomnia by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your support. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
Third degree time in a moment, but first the Insta trivia. Justin Herbert of the Chargers becoming the second quarterback since 1970 to have 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and 40 rushing yards in one of his first 5 starts in the NFL. Blank was the first and the only other player to do it since 1970. That's the question. What's the answer? Pauly D is going with Doug Flutie. Ed from Spokane sending me a classic photo of them sitting on the couch. They're going with Christina from Spokane is his answer. Nice Orioles sweater. Dan Pastorini, guessed by Ken. Who else do we have here? Page down. Miguel on Fire says Jay Balvin dropping his McDonald's order is the answer. Dick Butkus from the Dick Poll account. Mr. T was tossed out. We have a Scott from Rhode Island just said Ben something something. I can't make that out, that last part. Cannot make it out. We have Donnie Doobie Toker from Stoner Marvin. Josh Allen, guessed by Robbie, the Buffalo Bills fan, I guess. Alf, the Alien Opiner, is going with Ben's grade school lunch as his selection. Bobby Brady from Harry Pothead. Terry Bradshaw, guessed by Joey, Brewtown Joey. Cam Newton from Rick. Kenny G, tossed out by Luke, the vending guy. Joe Burrow from Arik in Minnesota. Andrew Luck, guessed by Manic Mike. Who else do we have? Webster from Tortilla Man Tony. Page down here, page down. Spanky McFarland from Milkman Mike. That's his answer. Let's see here. Page down. Can't read that. Turd Ferguson from The Legal Tamper. Terry Hanratty from Hobby Bobby. David in Seattle knows where all the good restaurants are. Is going with Tommy Maddox. What's your answer, Eddie, please?
Well, it's actually another Oregon quarterback, Kellen Clemens.
Kellen Clemens. All right. Is it Kellen Clemens? Is it? No. Correct answer, believe it or not, is Bobby Hoying. Bobby Hoying for the Philadelphia Eagles in 1997. Wow. Against the Cincinnati Bengals. Who knew?
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, here we go. Third degree time. Coop da loop.
Ben, during Game 5 on Sunday night, there were Dodgers fans in the crowd that booed Dave Roberts for pulling Clayton Kershaw.
Boo!
With two outs in the fifth.
It was actually the sixth inning.
Six. What was your initial reaction?
It was an overreaction by Dave Roberts. But as I have said, any move you make with Clayton Kershaw is the wrong move. Any move, you leave him in, it's the wrong decision. You take him out, it's the wrong decision. Clayton Kershaw, here's my problem with that move. Kershaw had thrown two pitches and gotten two outs in the sixth inning. At that point, you should just let him finish the inning, right? Two pitches, two outs. Now, he was in no stranger danger. Instead, Roberts decided to follow the script and not improvise. And the other thing, listen, Dave Roberts has been very robotic with his bullpen. We praised him the one time he wasn't robotic. It's on track to work. There's a lot left. The Dodgers still have to win another game, but fans were right to boo Roberts. I'm not going to rip a fan for booing Dave Roberts. I'm not. I've booed him many times on the radio. Next!
A Lakers assistant coach told a reporter this weekend that during the offseason and before the trade deadline, every team that the Lakers talked to wanted Alex Caruso as any part of a deal. What's funny?
I know. I just saw a joke. You know, or I heard one.
Ben, would you want the bald eagle on the Clippers?
Is this a legitimate question? Come on. He's nothing. He's roster filler is what Alex Caruso is, right? You can always find guys like him every year, the guys that aren't drafted, that are overachievers, that are scrappy, aggressive players who do the grind. But those guys are replaceable.
How
right?
Those dare guys- you talk that way about White Chocolate Thunder?
All right, whatever. Please. Would you trade him for Kawhi?
Would I trade him for Kawhi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. All right, next.
The New York Jets have yet to win a game and are on course to get the number one pick in the draft. Do you think the Jets try and trade Sam Darnold at the deadline to clear room for Trevor Lawrence?
No, because who the hell wants him? Seriously, if you were another team, why would you trade for Sam Darnold at this point? The guy's got cooties. He's been attacked by gangrene. Sam Darnold has been Jetsicized, or however you say it there. And somebody's going to take a chance on him down the line, but he's a mega project. You don't pick up a guy like that at midseason. It's not just a cosmetic fixer-up. You just don't put paints on the wall. You got to tear Sam Darnold down to the studs and hope that there's good bones in that house. All right, there it is. Mallard to the third degree. That's a winner. Thank you very much.
You failed this edition. Disrespect.
Oh, stop. You said you'd trade him yourself. You said you'd trade Caruso.